God gives us a choice. And another thing is that God knows us. So let's keep that in mind about Pharaoh's hard heart. I have a definition of the Hebrew word. It's spelled L-E-B. I don't know how to pronounce it. Leb. L-E-B is the word. But it's a Hebrew word. And it takes in the totality of the word heart. Now, in our culture, we tend to divide or separate the function of the heart: spiritual, intellectual, emotional, rational. But this Hebrew word don't separate it. If you messed up emotional, he's saying you messed up spiritual. If you messed up rational, you messed up intellectual. But, you know, in our culture, we look at it differently. This is what we say about people. They're very intellectual, but they mean. But I want to talk with them. I want to be with them because, you know, their intellectual ability. But this Hebrew word say they mean. We like to divide that thing of they'll give you the shirt off their back, but you can't trust them a lick. We want to be with people sometimes that have those flaws, but that Hebrew word leb says it's going to keep it all together. We tend to separate by who we like and who we don't like, and we can accept things in our heart from certain people. Certain people can be mean, but we'll invite them to our house. Some people not mean, but they kind of keep to themselves, and you don't want them around. Our heart makes the difference. But we got to find out let's talk about Pharaoh's hard heart. Now, you got to understand that God knows all of us. He knows our heart. You got to look at Pharaoh as being king or ruler over what was called the known world. And he was the big shot, the big boss with the applesauce, the big tamale, the house rocker, whatever you want to call him. That was Pharaoh. Nobody told Pharaoh what to do. Now, here you got Moses come back. He left Egypt 40 years ago, ruled over some sheep, and now he's coming back because God sent him and says, Moses, I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Now, this is Pharaoh, king, ruler. Pharaoh ain't going to let nobody come tell him what to do. So guess what would happen when you start to tell him? His heart going to get hard. His heart gonna get hard. And when you read and I have another verse, Exodus 8 and 15, just write it down and look at it. You know what it says? That the first plague came. Who know what the first plague was? I saw a hand go up there. It was frogs. And Pharaoh was kind of upset about that for a while, but after the frogs died, you know what Pharaoh said? Well, it's gone. And the Bible says Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He got even madder. Now, the thing with a hard heart is that it don't get better. It gets worse. God is telling us what he wants us to do, and we have a hard heart and don't do it. Jeremiah 17 and 9. Let me turn to that right quick. I don't know if they're going to have it right there. That's it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In looking at the inner man, we should be aware that every aspect of our personality, the mind, the emotion, and the will has been affected by sin. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. When you see people do some things, it's coming from their heart. Now I'll give you some examples. When your heart becomes hard, you don't want to hear the truth. You don't want to hear what's right. You don't want to hear what God said. And some of us, I don't know if we've said it or been mad enough to say, somebody get you get mad and they start telling you, well, you know, the Lord said, I don't care. Because why? Your heart done got hard and you're mad. You're upset. You're not thinking clearly. So your intellect is messed up as well. Like that word Leib said. But the thing is, you get so angry, you put holes in your sheetrock. Why? Because they keep telling you the truth. Some of y'all know, y'all haven't done it, I know. But I mean, some people that, you know, your neighbors get in an argument, and you hear them going on, and it get louder and louder, and whichever spouse don't want to stop, and then all of a sudden, boom, you hear that sheetrock go. Now, the thing is, and this for those, if y'all got neighbors like that, that don't, tell them, don't be busting that sheetrock. Because some of them got, if you miss the sheetrock and hit that stud, it's gonna be some trouble. But the anger build up so much from what? From them keep telling you the truth. You know, like somebody trying to convince you. I'm going to use a husband and wife since we're going to have marriage counsel this Friday. Next. Singles. Okay, see. So now the thing is, here we're going to use married couples. I like married couples. Married couples, you know what they do? One of them get jealous if you have a jealous spouse, and they feel that you're doing them wrong. The more you try to convince them, the louder they get. The more you try to tell them, look, that's not what's going on, the madder they get. I got evidence. I got proof. They don't care about that. Why? Because they've convinced themselves in their heart that they're right and you're doing them wrong somehow. So you spend your time trying to explain it, and the more they resist it, guess what? The harder your heart gets, because they won't accept the truth. Now, when we're gonna read this, when we read this story about Pharaoh, we know how it ended. He ended up drowning, and because of a hard heart. We're not willing to let go. And how many of us have pushed things to the point where we ended up alone because we wouldn't let it go? We have some things in our life that we're not sure of, or you could be certain. But we never do like that song we were singing. We don't give no room for that person to make the mistake. God said, we sung out, when the mistakes we made, what he did? He covered up. And that's going to be that's an important point we have to remember in this lesson, that there's going to be some places that you're going to have to cover up for someone else. A hard heart. We're going to have to go to point number two, a sinner's heart. Now, I know you don't think sinners have hard hearts. But we know sinners have hard hearts, but saved people can have a hard heart. And that's hard to imagine now. You're saved, and your heart is getting hard. But that's where our lesson comes from tonight. From Mark chapter 8, verse 14 through 21. A hard heart. Now, this is an interesting story here. And I hope we can find ourselves in it. Mark 8 and 14 through 21. It says this. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. That sounds kind of petty, don't it? They're going on a ship and they got one loaf of bread. The disciples, now this Christ disciple, he's not talking about no jokers off the street. He's talking about his disciples. Now, look at this next verse. And he charged them, saying, now this is Jesus, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. If you read that in Matthew, you say the Sadducees. But that's the thing. 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. Jesus said, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Now, to get the picture of this, and I'm going to tell you, the verses before, the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus, tried to get him to show him a sign. He said, there'll be no sign. You know, they want to show us a sign from heaven. You know how they were. Jesus said, there ain't going to be no sign. So Jesus takes an opportunity that he's getting on the ship. He said, you look. Now he get him there, he say, look, I want y'all to beware of the Pharisees. Because they're trying to trick him. They're trying to set him up. So Jesus here is preparing them, warning them, getting them ready. And they said it's because we have no bread. What would prompt them brothers to say, because we have no bread? Now, if you got your Bibles ahead, you can look a few verses ahead. You know what Jesus had just done? Took 7 loaves of bread and fed 4,000 people. And before that, he took what? 5 loaves of bread and fed 5,000. And them boys come down and say, Jesus is upset because we have no bread. Now, when you see that thing, he said, the reason among themselves, them boys was arguing. And you can imagine, because the first person I would say was, Judas, you got the money, why you didn't get nothing? And you know, Judas is going to say, Peter, you always jumping up to do something, why didn't you go get it? So these boys trying to argue and reason among themselves, and Jesus takes note of it. He takes note of it. And look what he said in 17, and when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Look at this part here. Have ye your heart yet hardened? So now, these boys arguing, Jesus steps in, and if you read that, they got 9 questions in there. 9 questions in that passage from 14 to 21. Jesus tells them, he said, your heart getting hard. You haven't understood, and your heart is getting hard. So what is he talking about? Here Jesus is doing this. This is what he's doing. Jesus said, I'm offering you wisdom. I'm offering you, I'm giving you the game plan. I'm giving you meat for life, and y'all arguing about who didn't get the bread. Now, you got to ask yourself, and don't say it loud, but what was your last argument about? Was it something as simple as, I sent you to the store and you forgot the bread. Can't send you nowhere. I got to write it down, everything down, tell you, you can't remember. What was your last argument about? How many times I told you not to leave your shoes right there? So we arguing. We out of milk again. You just went to the store. Why you didn't argue? What was the last thing you argued about that was simple? Didn't mean much, but you're arguing about it. But you never ask yourself, is Jesus trying to tell me something and I'm missing it because I'm arguing over who didn't get the bread? And even in the church, you know they're sitting in my seat, huh? Your spouse can't rest because you sit. Look, they know I sit there all the time. So now they got to go home and hear you argue about somebody sitting in your seat and you miss the meat of life. You missed it. It passed you by, and you arguing about a seat. I parked there all the time. They walked right past me and didn't speak. The little small things that you argue about and fuss about and complain about, and you got to ask yourself, what did I miss? You know what Satan does? Satan does those little things intentionally. Because when he do that, he say, well, now, they're going to miss this, and I'll be able to trick them later. I'll be able to flip them next time, because why? They didn't get no meat. They didn't get no word. They didn't get nothing to settle them down, nothing to establish them. You know why? Because they was worrying about a loaf of bread. Who didn't get the bread? Jesus said that hardening your heart. And you know why he said that? When you continue reading those verses, you know what he said? Have ye eyes, having eyes, seeing not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do you not remember? Then he said, when I broke the 5 loaves. Ask him, how many I got? You got back? 12 back. When I did the 4, how many I got back? 7. And then he said, how is it that ye don't understand? Now, Jesus took them back to the 5 loaves, to the 7 loaves, what they had back, what they got back. And he was telling them that their heart is hardened. So what did they didn't have? What makes our heart hard like that? Lack of faith. Pastor been talking about Hebrews of faith, and I know we're talking about, boy, when you hear about Enoch walk with faith, that's me. I'm going to walk with God. But you can't remember what he done. What happens when you can't remember what he done? Now, these boys just got on the ship, just came across, and they arguing about a loaf of bread. Here you sitting with the bread of life, and you talking about, you forgot the bread. You forgot the bread. And Jesus saying, your heart is hard when you don't remember what he done for you. When you don't remember. How many of us ever been sick and got healed? So why we panic when we get sick again? Do you remember? How many of us been broke? I can keep my hand up. I've been broke. I mean, down to the, you're talking about the last dime, and that had to be, but didn't he make a way for, can you remember? So why do we panic? Why do we let our heart get hard when a check don't come, when a job leave? Why can't we pull up that same faith that rescued us the first time? Why we can't pull that back up and say, well, wait a minute. He's the same God yesterday. He did it before. He can do it again. But we stumble at that word. And God said, you know what? It's a lack of faith that hardened your heart. When I read that, he said, you see not. You hear not, but you don't see. I thought about the way I got it was I started asking. I said, Lord, I don't know how we say this. How do I bring this up? He said, go read the letter. So I said, a letter of what, Peter? He said, no, your wife wrote you a letter. Go read it. So I went in my little folder. You know, when we was dating, she used to write me letters all the time because I was out of town. And you see, well, some of y'all don't know. Y'all young people don't know because y'all email everything and text them. But we ain't had no email. And if you call from, I was in Ruston. If I call from here to Ruston, that's long distance. That calls you. So we didn't, it wasn't no calling, and you gonna write. A stamp wasn't but a nickel. We can afford that, put a nickel on that. But she wrote me some letters. So I got one of the letters, I started reading it. Y'all want me to read it to you? No, y'all supposed to say, wait a minute. Y'all supposed to say, no, we not nosy like that. So y'all fail y'all test. But she wrote the letter, and I read it. After I read the letter, I said, well, okay, I read the letter. I said, what about it? I read that October 3rd, 1976. That's what I still got it. You know, I kind of keep things, you know. I keep things, you know, like you say, with stuff for your heart, you keep it, so, you know. So I kept that. So I got a bunch of them, but, you know, that's something else. But so now I said, well, Lord, so what? He said, what about the troubles and trials? I said, that didn't change nothing. He said, what about being broke? I said, that didn't change nothing. He said, what about when she was mad, you was mad? I said, that didn't change nothing. He said, and I said, why? He said, and it's like he showed me, he said, because you believed the letter when she said she loved you. If you believe the letter, then, you know, even though she get mad and get an attitude, I still love her. I ain't gonna go. Why? Because and it's the same with him. God said, do you believe that I love you? So if you believe that he love you, well, what's the problem when you don't have no money? He gonna make a way. Why? Because we just got through singing about how his love is. If his love never fails, never gives up. Well, if you believe that, but it's in your heart. And if your heart is hard, you know what you're gonna say? I don't know why God doing this to me. I don't know why I gotta be the one with the broke car. Why I got to have the tape over the window, the bags, and why I can't have a nice ride? Because it's in your heart has got hard toward God because you quit believing that he loves you. And once you know that he loves you, guess what? You can have whatever you want. Why? Because he's your father, and your father loves you. So if you forget Christ, what Christ has done in your heart, it's going to get hard. Now, the thing is with a hard heart is something that you have to recognize. We got to recognize. And we're going to get on point three for a while. We got to talk about us. We got to talk about us. We see the disciples and they messed up because of lack of faith. So you know what? Faith, it was caused our heart to get hard. Your heart get hard towards your spouse because you quit believing in them. Your heart get hard towards your parents because you quit believing in them. You forget what they've done for you. And it's for the young people, the kid. When you realize or remember or think about the sacrifice your parents made to get you where you are, you won't have a hard heart toward them. You won't be saying things, I wish you wasn't my mom. I wish you wasn't my dad. I'm going to run away from home and all that kind of crazy stuff. But I bet you ain't going to run away in this hot weather, though. You're going to wait for that. Yeah. Wait till it cool off. I ain't leaving now. I ain't leaving now, John. It's kind of hot out there. That's some cooking, partner. Y'all that were playing baseball said, y'all know what I know. You know what I mean, Daddy? You know what I mean, huh? Man, that son don't play. But it's because your heart is hard. When your heart get hard, guess what? You're going to say just about anything. It seems not to have an effect on you. And the thing is, when you look at you recognizing what's in your heart, how do we do that? How do we recognize or know that our heart is getting hard? When you ignore what God has said. When you ignore what God has said. Now, and I kind of touched on it, when you realize that God has blessed you and given you all kind of promises and things, and you ignore what he said, your heart gonna get hard. Because when you see Tyrone getting things that you know you deserve, your heart gonna get hard. What's so special about him? I'm tall too. I believe I'm a Hebrew too, but what you believe about God? How much of his word have you ignored? You know when we ignore his word? We ignore his word when it don't agree with us. When it don't agree with our input. That's why I like that Hebrew word lev, I like that. Because it don't separate nothing. And you see, when they don't agree with us, give and it shall be given unto you. Give? We stumble right there. Bless others. I need it myself. What you talking about? We don't like those kind of words. When he say, help bear one another's burden. I work hard today too. All those things that we don't agree with, we ignore God's word. And we're not realizing that every time we do that, our heart gets a little bit harder. It gets a little bit harder to press in. A little bit harder for God to reach us. Because you know what? That part of our heart is getting hard. When we ignore his word, He tells us as married couples to sacrifice for each other. Humble ourselves to each other. I'm the man here. You don't do what I see. I ain't taking nothing from no one. That's how we live. Why? Because we don't agree. Submit, my young man. You get like Pharaoh. I ain't got to bow down. I ain't doing that. Not realizing that our heart is getting harder. Ignoring what God has said. Another thing we do. Number two, when the Lord convicts us, we rationalize it. Oh, yeah, we rationalize it. When he convicts us, Lord, you know, I wouldn't have broke them windows out if he wouldn't have talked about me like that. Go fix that. Go up. I ain't going to apologize, no, because that was their fault. We don't like the challenge because we don't want to do it. Even so much as dieting, eating the right things, I should say, not dieting. Because, you know, we don't want to be no Yule Gibbons, eating leaves and branches and twigs and bark. Some of us are meat eaters. But now, if your digestive system is messed up because you're eating all that meat, why don't you change? What's so hard about that? What's so hard about change? Hey, I just got to throw in a few more salads, Kelly, that's all. I like the beef chop, but put some salads in there. You know, miss one or two of them. Another one, by ignoring the Spirit. What do we say when we ignore the Spirit? The Spirit is something that's subtle. It comes in and it sees someone, and the Lord tells you, he said, Miss Denise, just give him a hug and a smile. I gotta go to nursery today. I ain't got time to go hug him and give him no smile. It's not a big issue. Somebody else gonna hug him. Or maybe he tells you, just give him a compliment. Right, Nika, just tell him how good they look in that outfit. Oh, I ain't gonna tell him that. They already got the big head. It's not a big issue. Somebody gonna see it, somebody gonna say something. But you know, when the Spirit gives you that unction and you disobey, you know what it is? It's called rebellion. Because the Holy Spirit is God speaking you to do something. And you telling him, oh, please. Oh, not today. Now, if God himself would come and ask you that, oh, yes, Lord. Brian, that's some nice shoes you have on. Oh, they're the best I've ever seen. How was that, Lord? Why? Because he's there. But when the Spirit is the same thing he's giving you, why don't you say something good about him? We rebel against that. Why? Because God is not hanging a rod over us to strike us, so we just ignore it. We rationalize it, and it's rebellion. And guess what? Rebellion is the heart of sin. Rebellion is the heart of sin. And we have to be careful with that. You know why we don't let some of these things go? Because it's kind of like furniture. And maybe some of the brothers agree. You know, the wife sees some furniture. Oh, that's some nice furniture. We ought to get that. The old one look all right to me. But now they get it. And you know what? You say, well, we got to get rid of it. Oh, I'm not getting rid of my good stuff. Now, wait a minute. You wanted new furniture because you didn't. Well, we're going to have to add on. If you put a dent over here, I can put that in. No, we're not getting no dent. Well, just save it in the storage. And you know, that's what we do with the stuff that we like. We make room for it, or we store it up. Now, God is telling us to get rid of it, but we like it. You know why? Because we like to be able to say, oh, hallelujah, Lord. And if somebody get on your nerves, you tell them, go to Sheol. We like to say, Lord, I want to magnify your name, but then we like to dig in other people's mess. We want to say, oh, Lord, I praise you, and I love you, and I adore you, but we still want to deal with the petty things because that's what's in our heart. And until we get our heart fixed, until we get our heart right, you know what? We can always try to hang on to what God's saying because we're saved and what the world is doing. And that's why they call us carnal-minded. We're carnal-minded because we want to do what God say and what the world say. We want to straddle the fence. You got to ask yourself, am I saved? Have I been delivered? Am I set free? We're still working on those things. We have a tendency to hold on to the things that's in our heart. We have a problem with those things. There's another Greek word for heart. That was the Hebrew. The Greek word is kodai. And it says the heart of man is the very person, his psychological core, the awareness each of us have that makes us the person that we are, and the spiritual dimension of responsiveness or non-responsive to God. In other words, you know what it's saying? You want to do what you want to do. Whether God tells you to go left or right, you want to make the decision. Why? Because there's something wrong with your psychological core. Your mind, your heart is messed up, and your heart is hard. So what it's saying is, now what choice are you going to make? God say, I want you to go right, you go left. He say, I want you to be quiet, you speak up. And we kind of lose our focus on what God is really trying to do with us. He's trying to tell you, he said, you know what? You don't have faith. You say, well, I got faith. How much do you have? Do you have the faith to believe what God said? Everybody in there will say, oh, yeah, I believe it. Do you have the faith to know what God said? Yeah, I read it. Do you have the faith to do what God said? Now, wait a minute. God asks us some tough things sometimes. And you know why he do that? My wife kind of went over Miss Shirley's lesson with me last night. She came back and she was blazing. I said, whoa. Me and my boy said nothing. And she told, telling us. And we going, yeah. Because you know why? It made a difference. If the word hits your heart and your heart is not hard, it'll penetrate. If you leave from church Sunday after Sunday, Tuesday after Tuesday, prayer service, whenever you hear a word and it has no effect on you, you got a heart problem. Not just a heart problem, but a faith problem. And as Pastor going over Hebrew, we want to be them people of faith. We want to be, I wonder if I can get my name listed. It ain't going to be listed if you don't believe. I got some verses here for you, and we're going to, that time kicking, it's kicking. Matthew 6 and 21. Matthew 6 and 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What he's saying is we focus on what we treasure the most. We focus on what we treasure the most. If your focus is on you, that's where your treasure is. If your focus is on your children, that's where your treasure is. On your parents. But our number one focus should be God. Our number one focus should be what Christ asked me to do, said for me to do, and doing to make me better. But we don't make that our treasure. Our treasure from God is how can he bless me? We treasure that. But when it comes to correcting us, we don't treasure that. We don't put value on what he said. Let's look at Matthew 12 and 34. Matthew 12 and 34. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David, when he was sung, is that 12:34 or 12:3? Matthew 12:34. Let me go. I got it right here. Shoot, I'm going to get it. I might have put the wrong number. 12 and 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking? I didn't mean what I said. That's really not what I was feeling. You made me say that. And you know what this verse is saying? It's saying that the cause of sin is not external. We got to look within. You know why you scratched up that guy's car? Because your heart was bad. Why you broke them windows? Because your heart was hard. It's not because of what they did. Well, I know he had somebody riding, that girl riding in that car, so I'm going to cut up all his clothes. It ain't had nothing to do with that girl or them clothes. It's your heart messed up. And the sooner the cause, what he's saying is the cause of sin is not from external. You cannot say because they laughed at me, I'm going to burn their house down. You can't do that. You can't do stuff like that and put it, because you know why? It's you. It's not the external thing. Well, I wouldn't have put my hands on you if you wouldn't have made me mad. You put your hands on you because you mean like that. Don't rationalize your sin. Don't rationalize the hardness of your heart. You need to fix it. You'll never fix it if you won't admit it that it's me. What did David do when he sinned? He didn't, Lord, Bathsheba shouldn't have been out there with that all taking no bath. He said, well, it's me. I have sinned. I have transgressed against thee. He said, create in me what? A clean heart. And renew a right spirit in me, O Lord. That, you see, I need the right spirit within me. All the stuff you do to people is not because they do it to you. That's what's in you. And you got to be able to say, Lord, I want you to remove this bitterness, this hatred, this anger, this vindictiveness out of my heart so I can be a child of faith. That's what it's telling you. You're not a child of faith. If you act like that, you're not living by faith. Because the faith will tell you that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I ain't got to touch him. I ain't got to do him. Why? God's going to take care of this. But because our heart is not right, we fall into that same thing. Look at this one, Romans 1 and 21. Romans 1 and 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and foolishness was in their heart. You don't recognize who God is. You don't recognize who he is. Yeah, and Pastor said, he said, you can read him, you can know him, read about him, quote his word. But if he's not in your heart, you don't know him. And guess what? Foolishness is going to come out your heart. You hurt people and do people wrong because you don't know God. And it's hard to say that this is in the church. It's difficult to say that is in the ushers or the ministry of the deacons on this platform. Wherever it is, if it's in your heart, guess what? That foolishness is going to come out your heart. And you get jealous and get hatred and bitterness come out. And we don't think about the things we see, how it affects other people. We say it, and then God's saying, they don't believe me. They in my spot. God can say, if that's what you're supposed to be doing, guess what? God can make room for you. God can move things for you, but you don't have the faith to believe it. Look at Romans 10:8-9. We know this one here. But what said it, that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which is preached. The word of faith is in your heart. Verse 9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's, we do that every Sunday. Every Sunday. But if the faith is not in your heart, you're not going to believe. And it's not just the words. It's the intent of the heart. It's the intent of the heart. What do you really mean? It's like when you messed up. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. I ain't going to do it no more. But you got your fingers crossed. What do you really mean? When you don't mean it from your heart with God, that's what you're doing. You say, well, you know, I better go up there tonight. I better go. The Spirit is putting the unction in your heart, and you don't move. We read verse Hebrews 6 and 7. It says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them, by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from the Lord. You know what that's saying? Pastor did that when he did Hebrew. You know what it's saying? It said, healthy hearts soak up the water of the word, and they plow by faith and till by trust. That's the heart that God desires. So you got to ask yourself, what kind of heart you have? We're all aware of the fact that it's been dry lately. And you know what farmers hate? When it get dry like this and it rain real hard. You know why? Because the ground is so hard and it rains so hard that the water just run off. But when it's a light, slow rain, it soaks into the ground and gives the plant life. And that's what that verse is saying to us. He said, if you take the water of the word that God has given you, don't rush with it, don't rush through it. Let it soak, let it marinate in your spirit. And guess what? It's going to give life to you. And when you get that life, you know, we always talk about the trees that blossom and you're going to bloom. You're going to see a difference in your life because you know what? Faith has made a difference. You're able to come up before God and not panic when the storm comes. Not panic when the bills do. Not panic when sickness comes. And even when death come knocking, you have no fear. Because you know what he said. And if you can remember what God said, you know what? You can stand up and say, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I messed up. I confess that I came short. I confess that I missed the mark. All the things you told me to do, Lord, some of them I left undone. But I know that you're a forgiving God. And I'm asking you to forgive me. I'm asking you to come in my heart. Lord, make a difference. Don't just let a hard rain come and go off. That's called emotionalism. We get emotions, say, well, a preacher said, well, you might die tonight. Oh, Lord, let me come before the Lord. Don't let that move you. If you can't you got to let the word penetrate in your heart. And when it does that, guess what? You're going to feel the roots start to absorb it. And that heart starts to take in that word, and guess what? You're not afraid no more. You don't feel guilty no more. You know why those disciples panicked when Jesus said that the leaven, they was guilty. They forgot to get the bread. And not purchase it from the store. They forgot to believe what he had already told them. They missed that bread. They missed what he had done. They missed the miracles. And guess what? When he questioned them about the leaven for the Pharisees, he telling them, don't let them people trick you. They panic. He talking about the bread. So don't you miss heaven because of a loaf of bread. Don't miss what God giving you because of a loaf of bread. You see, that's the tragic in that whole story. The tragic in that story was, you notice, when you come back to verse 21, God starts talking about the blind, 22, the blind man. Because there was a tragedy in that lesson. He never got to explain to him about the leaven of the Pharisees. And you got to look in your life and say, you know what? What have I missed? Because I'm crying over a loaf of bread when I have the bread of life. What have you missed? What have passed you by? What God was trying to get to you? What level you could be at now if you wouldn't have been complaining, crying over the small things in life, the little things in life, where you could have been now? This is our time, and we got to take full advantage of it. We got to take advantage and say, you know what, Lord, I thank you for getting me where you are. I want to be where you are. I want to be in that secret place. Let's stand. And if you would, we'll bow our heads. We're going to pray for ourselves. Lord, I lift your people before you right now. Lord, because we need you. Lord, we all been guilty of running after a little bread, and we had you all the time. Lord, we're all guilty of missing the things that you tried to get us to know, tried to get us to see. We missed the meat of life, Lord. We missed the elevation of life because we was looking too low, looking for a loaf of bread. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, as we receive you to ourselves, Lord, that if there's any here right now, Lord, that don't know you, that want to exercise that faith you give them now, Lord, and say that they believe, Lord, I pray right now that you come into their hearts. Lord, we confess that we've fallen short. We confess that we missed the mark. We confess that we've done you wrong. But we also confess that you're the Son of God, that you died on Calvary, that you rose the third day, and you still have all power in your hand. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, don't leave us like we came. Lord, speak to our hearts right now. Show us the way. Show us your will. Give us the courage to face the adversities of life, Lord, and give you all the praise. Let us not ever forget where you brought us from, what you brought us through, what you brought us over, and where you're taking us, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, that you take control of our hearts. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. Lord, as we leave this place, we never want to be out of your will and out of your presence. Take full control of our lives, Lord. Guide us. Give us safe passage back home, Lord. Lord, we pray for our pastor and first lady, Lord, that all goes well in their life. Lord, that you give him rest and strength on this day. Let him come back 100 times stronger. We pray right now, Lord, for a blessing over your people, Lord, that you cover us and give us safe passage home. And we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all. Thank y'all.